3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery, 104.5 The Zone. Todd, does Vegas agree with the Final Four this week?
You know what? There's not really as much dissension amongst the ranks. When you look at Clemson, Alabama, and Oklahoma, clearly a cut above everybody else in the field. We know that Iowa and Michigan State have earned the right to play for that fourth college football playoff spot, but Iowa would still be an underdog to a considerable amount of teams. Michigan State stock, though, is definitely on the rise. You've watched them go out and dominate Penn State to close the regular season, and a pretty impressive win against Ohio State the week before.
If Clemson loses to North Carolina, would they still be in it?
Clemson is out, in my opinion, if they lose to North Carolina. And I think Clemson, even if they get through North Carolina, they should be considered the long shot amongst the other playoff teams, whether it's coaching or talent. I think Oklahoma right now probably has the most compelling body of work. And when you look at their overall talent level, they're my favorite to win the national championship.
So if Clemson didn't get in, who would get in?
I think it's going to be a very interesting discussion. If Stanford wins the Pac-12, they're going to make a case to jump over Ohio State. But I believe that Ohio State is sitting in the catbird seat with the North Carolina upset victory, given their one loss to Michigan State. The resume looks better if Michigan State beats Iowa. And why would the committee not want to have a brand that travels so well that's the national college football defending champion?
Staying on Clemson, Clemson a 5.5-point favorite over North Carolina. How do you see that one playing out?
Yeah, this number's going to come down a little bit. There is an appetite from some sharp bettors to try and back the Tar Heels. You look at Clemson, they have not covered a football game since Halloween, where they got through North Carolina State,
wow,
gave up 41 points in the process. Whether they're playing coy or they've gone real vanilla with their playbook, you look at the inferior opponents that they've let hang around each of the past few weeks, and there is some reason to be concerned. At the same time, I think Deshaun Watson becomes the X factor. This will be his chance for a nice Heisman send-off, and I just think Clemson has too much firepower for North Carolina to slow down, and I don't love the Tar Heel strength of schedule.
At Todd Furman on Twitter, toddstake.com. Check him out.
Well, Todd, you just talked about Watson. What is his odds of winning the Heisman? Who's the front runner?
Right now, it's kind of Derrick Henry's award to lose at this point. You look at the numbers he's put up and the massive amount of carries, 46 in the win in the Iron Bowl, and that's why he is the odds-on favorite, Blaine. You're talking about risking $4 to make one on Derrick Henry. Deshaun Watson, the only other player in single digits, he listed at 4-1. And then there's a bit of a logjam between 15 and 20 to 1. Dalvin Cook, Ezekiel Elliott, Christian McCaffrey, Leonard Fournette, Baker Mayfield, and Corey Coleman, the only other guys available on the big board.
Is there any possibility that Florida could upset Bama? Because, man, that would put the SEC in a tailspin.
I always think there's a possibility. I mean, when you look at these teams, I know Florida's offense has struggled, but when you have a defense as stout as the Gators, if they can get a defensive score, special teams play, maybe Treyon Harris pulls a rabbit out of his hat, and Alabama has to start second-guessing themselves. You can sell out to stop the run. I don't trust this Alabama passing game. They're 17.5-point favorites for a reason, so it would be a huge upset if the Gators pulled it off, but it would not shock me in the least.
Well, I'm down with the prop bets here, and then I'm going to NFL, and that is, what team is favoring the NFL to be the number one pick, and then leading to who is the player that will be the number one pick?
Well, if you look at the odds and probabilities out there, the Tennessee Titans are number two to get that number one overall pick. The Cleveland Browns now going with Austin Davis. It seems like they have thrown in the towel in this season, and they're more than content to finish the year 2-14. It'll be fascinating to try and see what direction Cleveland likes to go in. So many positions of need there.
Quarterback.
Do they still want to? Yeah, exactly. Do they still want to draft a quarterback? But I look at the guys in college, Blaine, and you probably have a better eye for this thing. There's not a guy, in my estimation, that's a franchise-changing quarterback that'll be available in the upcoming draft.
I agree with you, yes. Now, how often, I think about the Titans, they've lost a lot of close games, but how often does Vegas lose by a point or two, win or loss, either side?
You know what, it's so much of it, and the casual gambler doesn't realize exactly what goes into being successful for the professionals. This difference between being a guy that hits 53% to 54% or hits 51%, which is a long-term losing proposition, is a half point here or there. And if you can grab 3.5 to 4 on a game when the market closes 2.5 or 3, over the long haul, it's going to put you in an absolutely outstanding position. The Sunday night game a couple weeks ago, Cincinnati and Arizona, a prime example, a lot of bettors go, well, what's the difference if I lay 3.5 or 4 versus a field goal? Well, when the game falls 34-31 because Cincinnati gets in the back door, that changes the dynamic entirely. So if you can get the best of the number, typically you'll be in pretty good standing as a long-term sports bettor.
All right, now I have to ask you, Indianapolis at Pittsburgh, and with Hasselbeck at quarterback, has his luck, ironically, run out?
You know, I think Indianapolis, they've really dodged a bullet getting the 40-year-old quarterback to be a stabilizing influence there. The defense has stepped up to the occasion as well. But if you're talking about power ratings, oddsmakers definitely going to make a 3.5 to 4 point minimum adjustment with a healthy Andrew Luck back in the mix. You're looking at Pittsburgh this weekend, probably about a touchdown favorite. Of course, big concerns for the Steelers. Will Big Ben be the guy? He was indeed a full participant in practice earlier today.
Well, the Titans just played Jags a couple weeks ago and barely lost. So will they be on the better end of this time and win with the home field advantage?
2.5 point favorites. Home field has not exactly been kind to the Titans. It feels like an eternity since they've won at LP Field. And honestly, if this number got to 3, I would make a case for Jacksonville to be a live underdog here. Nothing I saw at the first meeting between these two teams makes me believe this number should be anything other than a pick, given how I currently grade the Titans' home field advantage. So if I can get a field goal, much like I did the first meeting backing the Titans, I would lean towards backing Jacksonville.
Yeah, thanks, Todd.
Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas. What's today? Wednesday at 4:30.
Todd, you had quite a Twitter exchange.
What did you say?
Earlier about outlet mall food stores. I just wondered what cranked that up.
You know what? I've had a number of interesting exchanges, whether it's the holiday season, talking about that. I did have someone in corporate real estate, Mickey, tell me that most of these outlet malls do have contractual obligations to put a Cinnabon, a Wetzel's Pretzels, or Auntie Annie's in there. So I think it's the whole program that we need to try and fatten up most of America, especially those folks that find themselves in outlet malls throughout the holidays.
Yeah, don't be hating on Dan Wetzel.
What's
and his pretzels.
What's the over-under on Sbarro?
You know what? Sbarro really has been phased out a little bit at a time. I feel like I can't find the Italian eatery in a lot of the shopping malls around the country. And I know there's some different fixtures depending on where you are. I had some people throw a Carvel as one of the spots.
Yeah.
But being a Midwesterner, you know, we didn't have that in a lot of our malls.
I always like the massage guys in the middle.
Yeah, I don't want a massage.
Yeah, I'm not getting a massage in the middle of the mall.
I do.
You do? In the middle of the mall?
Oh, yeah, 10 minutes?
Look, honey, there's Blake Bishop. Get the massage.
Right here, cool
massage.
Sensual massage.
Oh, yeah, man. Don't be talking about me. I'm one of those people. my son hates that, too. I'm leaving you. I don't know you.
That's so funny.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah, deep tissue right there on the
Southern
track.
Miss at Western Kentucky, Todd.
Athlete's foot.
This game opened, the Hilltoppers, an 8.5 point favorite, total of 71. You've seen money come in on the Golden Eagles, priced down to 7, and you've also seen the total tick up from 71 to 74. Fully on board with the move towards the over, the two most explosive offenses in Conference USA. But as far as the move towards Southern Miss, I think Western Kentucky, too dynamic offensively, they'll get enough stops, and this should be one of the more exciting games of the day, assuming the weather in Bowling Green holds up on Saturday afternoon.
USC hires their coach who was acting as their coach, Helton, and now Stanford, maybe the best two-loss team, depending on who you ask.
Yeah, a real interesting game when you talk about some of the dynamics, maybe not in terms of on-field personnel, but does USC see beating UCLA as their primary accomplishment, just getting to this championship game, or will they want to try and put a capstone on the short tenure that's now been extended, as you mentioned, for Clay Helton, and win the conference championship? This number got as high as 5.5. It's since come down to 4. Revenge from earlier in the year. But interesting to think USC was a double-digit favorite the first time these two teams met. I think USC, a live underdog, if you can grab anything 3.5 or better.
A lot of people rejoicing for their buddy David Price here in Middle Tennessee with his great contract. I don't think you were one of those people, Todd.
Well, you know what? I have to clarify this because that was a comment that drew a lot of heat, not so much from folks in Nashville and the loyal 3HL listeners, but more of Red Sox Nation, which wanted to jump down my throat. I think it's a tremendous deal for David Price. If you can go out there at 30 years old, sign a 7-year deal for $217 million, you deserve a tip of the hat. We should all be so fortunate in our professional career. But when you look at the way things have gone for Albert Pujols in L.A., yes, he had a resurgence this year. We've seen it with these pitchers. They start to break down when they're power guys. I think you get 2, maybe 3 good years out of Price, and then you're paying a lump sum salary late. Makes me wonder what a guy like Zach Greinke is going to try and command on the open market. 40, 50, 60 million a season at this point. I just don't want to hear these baseball owners 40. Cry foul anytime soon.
What about Hayward with 300 million?
With the Cardinals, maybe.
I think it's a huge mistake for them as well. St. Louis, in my opinion, one of the best run franchises in all of baseball for a reason. You don't want to have this albatross hanging around your neck. Outfielders can be replaced. Jason Hayward's great, but he's not Bryce Harper or Mike Trout.
All right, real quick, we got some Tennessee people that are excited about 2016 already. Going into next season, where do you see them opening up ranking-wise?
I think Tennessee is top 15 team with the capabilities to be top 10. Now, I haven't gone through their full schedule to try and assess win totals or anything like that. But for me personally, I'd love to be able to get a piece of the ball somewhere in that 30-40-1 range to win the national championship. I think they're the favorite in the SEC East. And if you look at the dynamics going on there, no reason to believe that they can't be in the thick of the national championship discussion.
Todd Furman, at Todd Furman on Twitter. Thanks, Todd.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Every Wednesday, 4:30.